think the word we are looking for is the comments made by the minister raised eyebrows.
Yeah.
And yes, I do agree. All of us were very concerned that this could be a second Marikana that we're looking at. But fortunately, sanity prevailed in the sense that the so-called Society for the Protection of the Constitution approached the court on Saturday morning on an urgent basis in the Gauteng Pretoria Division of the High Court. And Judge Brenda Neukischer made an interim ruling, basically stating three things. The one is that the court ordered the police to stop any blockade of the so-called Zama Zama's exit in Stilfontein near Orkney, simultaneously further ruling that they be allowed to exit, and thirdly, that no non-so-called emergency personnel may enter the mining shafts. That being said, the matter has been postponed until Tuesday for the respondents. And we know the respondents are the Minister for Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs, Police, Senzo Matsuni, obviously, and then the Minister of Health and Mineral Resources and Energy. They have until Tuesday to file their opposing papers for the pending application then to be concluded and then obviously argued for a final verdict on the matter at hand. So this is only an interim measure, but it's better than facing the other consequences, which could be dire straits, people dying, and obviously a possible Marikana situation.
What amazed me was that there's over 1,000 men, or there were over 1,000 men underground, and they live underground for something like 6 months. This is amazing.
There's even suggestion that there might be more than 4,000 illegal miners, so-called underground. Many of them, well, the majority of them, non-South African citizens. That is the one issue. And the second issue is obviously with the SAPS, SAPS, busy with their so-called Operation Vala Mgodi, which they pounced on these illegal miners, as they call them. We have a situation where the police literally stand at the exit of all these unused and disused mine shafts and abandoned mine shafts, waiting for them to resurface. And once they resurface, obviously, they have a quick medical examination of them. If they are equipped to be detained immediately, they get arrested, prosecuted, and sometimes then deported. If they are not up to the medical standards to face the consequences, then they are taken to a healthcare facility under the guidance and obviously where the police keep an eye on them until they are better, and then they are going through the motions. So it's a difficult situation because the members of the SAPS do not participate in this rescue operations at all because of their own safety concerns.
Yeah.
And one must understand that they are obviously not obliged to participate in it, besides at least letting the people that wants to rescue these underground miners to do so, sending them water and other supplies, which at one stage I've been advised that they allowed for some time. But then it backfired on them in the sense that the opposite then happened. Instead of getting them to resurface, the opposite remained. And I mean, they stayed longer underground. So it's a difficult situation altogether.
No, it certainly is. And I mean, it speaks to so many things. There was an interview with one of the miners who lost his legs in one of our well-known syndicated websites, which says that he had to pay 15,000 rand just to get down the shaft. If there are 4,000 men down in the mines who've paid 15,000 rand each, we can start to see that there's a huge sub-economy going on here, and it seems as if unruly elements or gangs are actually running the whole mining thing.
I have no doubt in my mind that we've got a similar mafia situations that we see in so many other issues and in this country. But I mean, that being said, it's been announced that they get paid about 1,000 rands for every gram of gold that they can produce. They are not allowed even to enter the shaft without having some, let's call it then, a kind of bag or sometimes even the backside of a pull box or something to go down with it and to resurface. You're not allowed to resurface without it being filled up. So it's a total chaos down there, and one can only imagine the chaotic situation, the hectic circumstances down there. I mean, food supplies are out. They have been mentioning of people eating mice and other things just to stay alive. Some of them are so badly ill health that they cannot get access to medical supplies, MIV medication, and so on. It's very bad altogether.
So do you think that government has to really do some serious thinking about this? It does seem to me as if there is some kind of market for what I suppose we would call informal mining. But if you don't regulate it, you're going to have a headache.
The big issue is ultimately, and this is my personal opinion, obviously, the people do not have jobs. Poverty.
That's the point.
Extreme poverty, and ultimately it's a question of without jobs, people are desperate, and then they have to resort to this kind of behavior, getting involved with these gangs and mafia that is actually the people that at the end of the day is the only persons that get benefit out of all these illegal mining situations. And until and unless we can eradicate the poverty situation and create jobs, we are not really going to see a tremendous results, positive results going into the right direction. So it is a problem and we should start there. But in the meantime, I think the court at least spoke its mind and said, listen, we have to protect lives as far as possible. I think that was the only goal that the court had in mind for the time being. Once the respondents have filed their opposing papers, then obviously on merits and on legal arguments, what would see what the outcome is. But like I said, for the interim, the main concern of the court was to protect lives.
Indeed, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Dr. Llewellyn Kerr-Lewis, legal expert and senior law lecturer at University of Pretoria, talking to us about the court giving an interim order to stop the blockade on the mine in Stilfontein. Dr. Kerr-Lewis, as always, a great pleasure.
Have a good afternoon, everyone.